Today, our message comes out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And before you say, that's too many verses, don't worry about it, because it all fits with the story. So if you have a Bible on your phone, on your tablet, or just the pew in front of you, there should be a Bible. And if you would turn to Luke 15, and we're going to read verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet, you've never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" In 1988, a classic song by Will Smith, aka The Fresh Prince, and DJ Jazzy Jeff tells a tale as old as time. In the cult classic, The Fresh Prince raps, "You know, parents are all the same, no matter time nor place. They don't understand that us kids are gonna make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand." Parents, have you ever had a hard time understanding your offspring? Kids, have you ever been so frustrated and fed up with your parents because you felt like they really didn't have a clue what was going on? Have you ever thought of running away? There's an ongoing debate in my family from my childhood that my family just loves to bring up. When I was 14, I got fed up. I was so frustrated with my parents. Being the youngest and the only girl, I was asked to do things that my brothers weren't. When dinner was over, I had to help clear the table while my brothers ventured to the couch. When it came down to picking something to watch, it seemed like the Animal Planet never won, and alas, we watched Monday Night Football again. There was one night in particular when I felt so frustrated, so annoyed that I stepped outside to contemplate life. I sat there on the front steps and waited. No more than 5 minutes went by until I began to hear laughing. Apparently, the front door had been open, and my entire family stood there at the screen door laughing at me. My older brother never let me get away with anything, and he said, "Look, she's running away." And it became this big joke that I still hear about regularly. When Austin and I first started dating, and he came over to my parents' house, we sat down, and my brother said, "Well, did she tell you that at one point she tried to run away?" And that is not the case. But the sad reality is that many of us have had similar sentiments. We've had similar situations in which we wanted to leave. We wanted to go somewhere where no one knew us. And we wanted to just stray away from home. In today's reading, we have a case study of two brothers and their vastly different lives. So far in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has told those following him that discipleship is costly, that it's a challenge because it asks you to refocus your life and to commit to loving others like Jesus did. This call is to put God and others before yourself and before your own desires. Jesus had been living this alternative lifestyle and saying that all people were cherished by God. Even the Gentiles were invited to share in the feast. And now the Pharisees and scribes are grumbling because guess what Jesus is doing? Eating with those weird tax collectors and those ungodly sinners. The religious leaders were so frustrated that Jesus would associate with people they disliked that they gossiped about him. And in that moment, Jesus tells three parables. Last week, we covered the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And today, we see the lost son. The prodigal child, lost, living in destitute situations, fearful that the father will not have him back. A story that still plays out today. The younger son leaves, and he heads off to make a name for himself. Headed to the big city, the Big Apple, to find out what the world's like away from his father's home. Not knowing who he'd encounter, but hopeful that people wouldn't know who he was. The inheritance had been separated, and being the younger brother, this son had no obligation to stay around. And off he goes, mishandling his money along the way. Living recklessly, spending like there's no bottom to the piggy bank, acquiring debt and federal student loans while looking for meaning. He didn't have to stay close to his father. His father wasn't near. His brother was gone, and I'm sure the servants that usually kept tabs on him were nowhere to be seen. And then famine breaks out. Broke, broken, hungry, and far from home, with no other option, the son takes up feeding pigs. Pigs would have been unclean in his cultural understanding, mentioned in the law in Leviticus 11:7 and Deuteronomy. I always missay this word, and I wrote it phonetically, so Deuteronomy 14:8. It would have been an abomination to work with pigs or even eat with them. Jesus wants us to know that this young man has fallen on hard times. He wants the Pharisees and scribes to see just how far the younger son has gone from what he's been taught. He didn't have the security of his wealthy father. There was nothing keeping him from eating what the pigs ate. And in dissolute living, in a hopeless situation, not knowing what would happen next. Stuck. He thinks long and hard, while covered in mud, hungry and surrounded by the very animal that he was taught not to mind. He has this moment of clarity. It's as if when you read this, you can just hear him say, "Aha!" The light bulb goes off above his head. How many of my father's hired hands have enough bread and some to spare, but I'm dying of hunger. Here I am living in this foreign place with no provisions. Here I don't even have enough money for a McDouble, but at home even the hired servants of my father's house can afford a Denny's Grand Slam. Without hesitation, he begins to rehearse what he'll say. Under his breath, probably, he says, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so just treat me like one of your workers." The son sets out with Google Maps in hand and expecting the worst. Flash forward to the older brother, frustrated and angry that his father would treat his wayward brother with such care, mad and annoyed that he's heard the news from one of the slaves after he just worked a long day in the field. Now he stands there comparing how he's acted against how his younger brother has. His younger brother asked for the money early, left, spent it on prostitutes, and is broke, probably because of his own doing. The older brother stands there refusing to go into the party. And the dad comes out. He comes out and the older brother starts to complain. "You've never even given me a young goat to party with my friends. I've been here the whole time and I didn't even get that new iPhone 11 for my birthday. I've been faithful to help. I've taken responsibility. Yet he came back and now we celebrate." Gosh, do you ever feel like that younger son, squandering your life in meaningless living, seeking security from fleeting moments? Our GPS is pointed to ourselves like we know where to go. Our bank account reflects the same desolate living and squandering that the younger son experienced once out of the house and with his money in hand. Living lives that don't reflect Christ, only to come here one day a week to get that gold star on your chart that will hopefully rack up those advantage miles in heaven. Instead of letting our hearts be touched, we put up a wall. That way, nothing can affect our lives, right? Our neighbor down the street struggling can't break in, because we've gotten so good at turning the other way when we slow down to that stoplight with someone next to us with a sign. Maybe, just maybe, the story of the younger son is your story, the story that you're still living today, a constant struggle of wanting to follow Christ, but a continued battle to stay in relationship with him. Torn between a life that is easy to fall into, yet called to walk in the newness and in a new way. A way that follows a humble, sinless man that loved us so much that he lived among the world, that he gave his life for you. Though we've possibly heard this story before, we're still hungry for more. We've heard the words, but they have yet to touch our hearts and change our minds. Maybe we don't know how to return. Maybe we're too prideful to admit that we've slipped, that we've strayed, that we've wandered too far for comfort, and that we're in need of help and we need support. Take heart, because the Spirit of God is still working. Maybe you feel like the older brother, frustrated when we assume other people are being favored, that life's going well for them and they're just perfect. Well, at least their Instagram tells us that they are. It's that mom that has those perfect eyelashes, that makes the best lunches for her children with heart-shaped sandwiches. She has a large and comfortable home. She seems to never miss her quiet time because she Snapchats it. She wears Proverbs 31 around her neck like a diamond, while some of us struggle to even open our Bible app every day. She seems so redeemed, so favored, but in reality, struggles behind closed doors. Are we no better than that older brother? We judge others' experiences because we're clouded by our own. We believe that we've always been close to the Father, and we don't want anyone to get a taste of that. We don't want anyone to get in our way. And maybe we've judged how they experience God, how they worship, what songs they sing, what they wear to worship, or even how they pray. But take heart. There's more to this story. As the younger son approaches his father's property, tail between his legs, rehearsing along the way, while still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. The word used here for compassion in the Greek means that it's so strong that this man could feel it in his gut, that it overtook his body, and in the ancient Near East, it would have been undignified for a man to run. But the father, overcome with compassion, runs out to meet the younger son. The younger son tries to get the words out, but his father calls his slaves to bring out a robe, the best one, to put a ring on his finger, to put sandals on his feet. One commentator mentions that in Mosaic law, the son's original robe, ring, and shoes probably would have been disposed of to signify that he was no longer a part of the family, that he had chosen to take his money, to take his property, and go. However, that father held on to them. Or perhaps it was his wife that held on to them, hoping one day her son would come back. The father, hopeful that there could be restoration, he doesn't hold the past against him. The son is a part of the family yet again. The grace is so radical that I imagine the younger son is in tears trying to get out those words. Father, I've sinned against you, before heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But he doesn't get out that last line, because his father has already restored him. Their relationship has been reconciled, and love is permeating the moment. Christ offers us that same love today, running to us with reckless love, willing to embrace us, though we've just been playing in the mud with pigs. He doesn't even make us finish our plea before he extends the fullness of his love and mercy. As John Mark McMillan sings, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. God's radical grace meets us with a robe, the best one, a ring to restore us as a child of the Most High God, and sandals so we can get up and follow him. Our provisions are met, our shame swallowed up in the action of the cross, and our hope set before us that we can now live in that newness of life. We serve a God that meets us wherever we are, in the middle of that field, in the middle of our office, in the pews of this sanctuary, in the depth of our heart. God meets us there, offering us redemption, repentance, and restoration. But what does the older brother have to do with the good news of grace? Well, it's summed up by the father's words to him. Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has now come to life. He was lost, but he's been found. The older son is reminded that the father still loves him too, that the father is still for him. But it isn't time to balance the scales. It isn't time to recall the past. It isn't time to get into your feelings. It's time to celebrate. Celebrate that God's love is for the prodigal son and daughter, and for that snot-nosed sibling that thinks they don't need grace. Grace abounds for both of the brothers in the story. And there's a call to celebrate that the younger son has come back. Celebrate that he's come back to life. The wideness of mercy is that it's extended to each and every one of us, to those that are struggling with addiction, to those that are trying to figure out their mental health, to those that are looked down on, to those that are struggling to make it to paycheck, and for the outsider. It's also for those that have walked with God a while, those that can name by heart the fruits of the Spirit, and for those that serve others. Grace is a gift to each one of us. Janet Hunt asks these questions. Shall I set aside my own bitter pride and go to the party after all? Will I accept this invitation to wholeness, which can only be mine if I recognize God's love even for those who hurt me most of all? Or shall I continue to deny the power, the grace, the love of God for the ones I have deemed to be somehow fundamentally different from me? Shall I sacrifice my own potential wholeness to prove a point, which was never God's point at all? Those and these questions still remain. Who are you? Are you the child that ventured off, looking to find something more, only to realize that God welcomes you back with open arms, no matter how you spent that inheritance? Or are you the child that stayed by your father's side, frustrated that the gospel of Christ calls us to love your wayward sibling? Jesus told this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes because they didn't like that he ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus expressed how lavish his father's love is. And we are invited to participate. No matter who you identify with in this story, you are met with rejoicing because you were once lost, but now you are found. Amen.